Welcome to the Rancho Mariano Community Services District, March 15th, regular board meeting. We'll get a call to order here at 4 o'clock. Can we do roll call, please?
Yes. President Mabee?
Here.
Director Pope?
Here.
Director Jenko?
Here.
Director Butler?
Here.
Director Booth?
Present.
Item two, consider adoption of the agenda. I'll make a motion to adopt if I could have a second.
Second.
Any questions? Not seeing any. Can we have a vote, please?
Wasn't there one item that we were going to remove from the agenda?
Yes, there is one item referring to Prop 218 and budget discussion. Since we have this, the special meeting scheduled for March 27th, we want to pull that item for this evening.
And which item was that?
Looks like 14.
Is it review, year-end, projections?
Correct, okay. Yes.
So under discussion, we have to remove 14. I'm going to amend my motion to adopt the calendar minus item 14. If I could have a second on my motion.
I'll second.
Oh, thank you. Could I have a vote, please?
Yes. Maybe?
Yes.
Director Pope?
Aye.
Director Jenko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yeah.
Yes.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number three is closed session. We have two items. Item A is with the legal counsel. Concerning significant exposure litigation, then closed session, which is item 3B, for public employee performance evaluation of the interim GM. So we're going to adjourn to the conference room, and hopefully we're out by 5. If we're not, I will notify staff to tell the audience an ETA. So thank you. Before I make a recommendation to accept it, do any of the board members have? Yes, please.
From the communication committee meeting, there were some comments that were not picked up on.
And that's the March 2nd?
Right, right.
Okay.
And so I sent an email to Amelia and asked her if she could add these.
Okay.
Four and number five. And so I just wanted to make sure that that got into the records, and also on the pipeline when that comes out.
So I understand what you said. So I'm going to make a motion to accept consent calendar except for A3, that it'll come back next board meeting with the modifications. Does that make sense?
Perfect, yeah.
That's my motion. Could I have a second?
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
President Mabee?
Aye.
Director Pope?
Aye.
Director Jenko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Can you guys pull down your microphones, please?
I can't hear you. You didn't pull yours.
I know, right? Thank you.
You're welcome. Item number six, boat ramp at Calero. Discussion, action.
What about?
I don't know if it goes to you, Travis, or if it goes.
I'll just give you a quick general description. Rod's in the, Rod Hart from RMA is in the.
In the house?
In the house, just okay. In case there's any questions. The RMA is looking to put a boat ramp in Calero. They have an area that was set aside for, that's RMA approved land that was set aside for a park. They want to put the boat ramp there. That's about as much as I know about that. Rod, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Nope. Come on up. You're going to be the first one on the owl. Here we go.
Wow. You should have told me before I was.
I know. I tried to give you warning.
It's like 15 minutes too late.
So yeah, the fishing club, along with some other members, have requested that we install a boat dock at Calero to make things easier to launch there.
And you sent this
and already. This project has not gone through the approval process at our board yet, because we wanted to make sure that the CSD was okay with it going there. It would include a 30-foot gangway that would, excuse me, 20-foot gangway that would get you from dry land to that dock, and the dock itself would be 30-foot by 7-foot wide. We would, if you have the picture, you can see where I'm kind of standing there. I'm pretty much center of where that dock would, or where the dock would go, or where the ramp would be. We would go ahead and go to the toe of the slope there at the edge of the lake.
So, Ron, if I can interrupt you, the burn pit for the Boy Scouts, would it be to the right?
So as we look at it, it's to the left.
Okay.
So,
thank you.
Matter of fact, you can actually see it to the left side of the trees, the grove of trees there.
Okay, now I know where it's at. Thank you.
So we would go from the toe of the slope and put a grade in, probably about a 10% grade, pour a concrete ramp like is installed at Clementia, so that it's safe getting in and out of there. And we would put a rail so that, unlike the other docks, it'll move in and out with the water as it recedes and so forth.
Got it. Okay. I'll open it up to board members, starting with Martin. Martin, any questions of Rod?
Yes. This group brought it to the Improvements Committee this month, and I agreed with it and suggest we send it to the board, so I'm in favor.
Okay. Steve?
I don't have any questions or comments.
Linda?
Okay, I'm going to be the bad guy. By the way, I just want to thank Jim and whoever else was very convincing with the fish. So I'm on board with the fish. I have an issue with this, maybe a couple of issues, and really what it boils down to is that there's no protection for the reservoirs, and particularly at night. And having a dock that is so accessible, I mean, I'm sure you all remember the lovely and delightful incident of the truck driving into the mud around Lake Calero, and then there was the porta potty that got dragged into Lake Calero, and then there was the guy who ran over the fire hydrant and was driving all over the roads and paths around Lake Chesbrough and Calero. There's no protection. There's no protection, and it just makes it so much easier to get anything you want into that water. And I feel uncomfortable with that. If RMA would put up the gates at night, I would have a better feeling about it, but that's my concern.
Okay. Director Jenko.
Concrete will be poured in the dry?
Yes.
And fully, and
it'll be four-inch.
And no concrete will get into the water for your BMPs?
That's correct. And then it'll be riprap from there out about 10 feet so that we make sure you don't just drop off it beyond that. So.
Rod, when do you anticipate this taking place?
If the CSD approves of it in concept, then we still have to go to the board for their approval for the project. And there's a couple ideas in regards to funding, but then at that time we'd ask for funding. So it's my thought that we wouldn't do this until late summer when the elevation of the water is down, so that those protections of the water is a little easier when we pour our concrete. And it allows us to get that riprap out there a little bit easier as well. I think I was telling Travis that probably around September, I would imagine, would be a good time.
Okay. I do have a request of you. We have this very small study coming up. So I would ask if whatever your presentation to your board is, if we get a copy of that, whether it's important to the water master study or not. It's just one more piece of information that the consultants know what's taking place, if you will.
Yep.
Okay. So then your request, or I guess your recommendation, Martin, is that board give direction to staff to move forward with RMA to put the boat ramp in. Is that correct?
Is that your motion?
No, I'm asking you.
Yeah, that's fine. Fine, I'll make that motion.
Well, then make that motion.
Okay. Second.
The motion there, any other further discussion from the board members? Roll call, please.
President Beebe?
Aye.
Director Poole?
Aye.
Director Janko?
Aye.
Director Butler?
No.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Rod, thank you.
Beth, thank you.
And
I would stay, but I got
no,
a grandkid birthday party to get to.
And I would tell you, please do not stay. It is not worth it. Have some cake for me. We're moving on to item number 7, staff reports. General Manager Michael.
All right, good evening. The district, as you know, is actively searching to fill the open accounting manager position, and we've recently initiated the services of MRG to enhance the search for potential candidates. Paula, do we have any update on that?
So I've been working with Nancy Kaiser with MRG, and we expect to release the job posting next week. Okay. They have updated the flyer based on the information that we provided with the job spec, and the process is expected to take about 8 weeks, so hopefully we'll get some good candidates and we'll have somebody on board soon.
Great. Thank you, Paula.
Mm-hmm.
The district had our initial meeting with our assigned FEMA representative. I'll be preparing documents for a recovery scoping meeting that's set up with FEMA for April 3rd for the storm damage. The Consumers Irrigation Association had begun its repair of the CIU ditch, but that has been paused for this recent rain event. Developer Billings, progress has been made on bringing Developer Billings up to date, including retreats north and east. There are currently about 20 Billings that still need to be brought up to speed. Many of those are currently under review. We are working to restore the process of providing monthly statements to developers. For Marietta Gardens property tax analysis, we have finished the initial analysis for the Gardens property tax restoration. Staff met with the representative of the Consumers Riverland LLC to discuss the analysis and settle reparations. Out of that discussion, the district will be amending the initial analysis based on the additional information supplied at the meeting. While there have been some initial issues with updating the account, staff are confident moving forward that the Gardens parcels will be billed correctly for property tax. Riverview has completed its punch list items for utilities for Phase 1A and 1B. Riverview is submitting the required items to have the district board formally accept this infrastructure and to start the warranty period for the donated infrastructure. Once accepted, the infrastructure will be booked into a district appreciation schedule.
Excuse me, Michael.
Yeah.
Refresh me what's entailed in Phase 1 and A and B.
I think it's about 30 lots
okay.
worth of infrastructure.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
You're welcome. Retreats North staff have met and corresponded with Cahovanian Homes to resolve district and developer commitments that need to be met prior to releasing 49 water meters to the Retreats North. With the RMA, I've set up a meeting with the general manager of RMA and the district IT to discuss the planning and installation of a VLAN that would assist in integrating the district and the RMA camera utilization effort. For the anglers, 100 blackfish adults and 8,000 blackfish juveniles, if I got that correct, will be released into the reservoir Calero. The district heard from the district biologist from Fish and Wildlife and from the Department of Water Resources, both of which take no exception to the release. In addition, there seems to be a significant support indicated for this release at prior board and committee meetings. This initial release will be approved. Question?
Come on up. Please.
Say hello to the owl.
Yeah, right.
All right, so there's one other correction on it. We're going to put 30 bass in Chesbro. That's it.
Oh, this is different than the Calero release?
Yeah.
30 bass?
Yeah, 3-0.
On top of the other ones?
On top of the others.
Okay.
Yeah, so the blackfish are going into Calero,
correct,
and the bass are going into Chesbro.
Yes.
Travis, do you know anything about this?
He had talked about it a little bit at their fishing meeting. They routinely put bass in the lakes anyway, so I didn't think it was really that big.
Okay.
Deal.
Right. So this is something that's a reoccurring item.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So the only thing new at this point is the blackfish.
Right.
So. Well, I appreciate your honesty on that.
So I apologize for not bringing that.
That's quite all right. That's quite all right.
Yeah. Okay. One second, Director Booth, please.
So, just curiosity, because I'm an angler, I'm assuming largemouth strain bass?
I largemouth, right.
Okay.
And smallmouth.
And where are they coming from?
The same place as the Sacramento Blackfish.
So there's a fish farm?
Freshwater fish company.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
How many blackfish are going into Calero?
Okay, so we want 100 adults, 8,000 3-inchers. And so the hope is some of the 3-inchers will survive to be adults.
And not be eaten.
Yeah.
Right. But there's lots of things out there to eat them.
Any other questions?
Will the crappie also eat the blackfish juveniles, do you know?
There are no crappie in there that I'm aware of.
I've caught crappie out of Calero.
You have?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good news. I'd like to catch crappie.
Not a lot, but I have caught crappie
in
Calero.
That's good to know, actually. So in Calero.
Calero.
We'll be looking for it. But yes, they would eat the blackfish too.
Okay.
And I don't want to get technical. Do you have pictures? I mean,
I do actually have. I have pictures of a white crappie that I caught in Calero, and I could show you pictures of 9-pound largemouth bass I've caught in Calero. So.
Perfect.
We're looking forward to those pictures.
He's going to submit a PRA.
Yeah, exactly, for the picture. Okay, I think we're good. I lost my place here. I don't think we have to take any further action.
No,
we're good.
It's been approved.
Yep. Sir, thank you for your time. Again, thank you for coming forward to us, and it's a calendarized item that if you're going to be doing it annually, then we'll work with you and go through this process. So thank you.
Thank you very much for your help.
All right. Have a great evening.
Okay, you too.
Okay.
Continue on, Michael, please.
The district has entered into two contracts with Lucy Croker to assist in the facilitation and enhancement of communication for both the Integrated Water Master Plan process and the fiscal year 23-24 budget process. Ms. Croker will be providing assistance with advertising, design, coordination, process consulting and coordination, stakeholder interviews, meeting planning, and facilitation. The district has reserved the Marietta Room, as you know, for 10 a.m. for town hall meeting, which is a special communications committee meeting on the 18th of March to discuss the Integrated Water Master Plan. Advertisements for the initial meeting have been put in place to get the word out to the community. The district is also working on establishing a town hall style meeting to disseminate information regarding the proposed budget for fiscal year 23-24. April 18th is the tentative date selected to hold the town hall style meeting. The district will also be looking to rent the Marietta Room at the Country Club to hold that meeting. At the direction of the GM Transition and Ad Hoc Committee, the district is contracting with Russ Branson to provide budget projections for fiscal year 23-24. Russ will also be working with the Poon and our staff to get this done prior to the 218 notice.
Who is Russ?
Russ Branson is a consultant that we have just hired to assist us and the Poon Group to get the fiscal year budget projections out in time.
And what are his credentials?
What's that?
What are his credentials?
He's a financial person that's really good at these types of things, and it's highly recommended by the Poon Group.
Yeah. But would you make a note?
Yeah, I'll send that CV as well. That's not a problem.
Is that your report then?
That's my complete report.
I'll open it up to the board. Any questions? I'll start with you, Martin.
I have none.
Steve?
I have none, thank you.
Linda?
Just on the Integrated Water Master Plan, more conversation is going to be happening later on in the meeting, is that correct? There's an item?
Yes, there's an agenda item for a contract.
And developer billings, is this, are all of our developers involved in this situation?
Correct, yeah, all developers, and there's some past developers too, there's some older. You can probably speak to that a little bit better, Paula.
Yes, we do have several past developments that have been closed out that have not been finalized within the system. So we have significant balances of deposits still sitting on the books that we need to reconcile and then refund back to the developer. So we're still working on those as well.
And Paula, has Russ worked for us before, to your knowledge?
Not that I've heard.
If he has, he's worked through Vanessa in that capacity. I believe it was back in 2019. He's a subcontractor through Vanessa, through the Poon Group.
Okay.
So she contracts or subcontracts with him for specific personnel-related items.
And the developer billings, if you were to say we owe more or we need or we are owed more, is there?
I would say it's relative. The current developments are owing us. With the previous developments that need to be closed out, the numbers are minimal.
Okay.
We are expecting a sizable check from Kehoe-Vining Homes.
Correct.
In the next week.
Yes.
Expected.
Director Janko?
Nope.
The only thing I would ask, and Michael and probably Kelly, as we move forward with these community meetings, I'm sure you've already done it, just reiterate, the North Gate is aware from that standpoint.
They have been briefed about the meeting this Saturday, and we have two security officers there at St.
I knew you would be on it, so
thank you
for doing that.
Because we promised them that it would be easy for them to get in from the village and
yes.
Mary Gardens.
Yes, Gates. Personal conversation with them.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
7B. Paula, please.
Thank you. Discussion of the March Finance Committee meeting, there were several items that were discussed, a lot of them very key into our finances and some updates. We had an audit update from Poon, the preliminary mid-year year-end update with the budget to actuals, Prop 218 discussion for fiscal year 24, the Tyler timeline for training, the five-year rate study and CIP study for RFP, and then the security staffing moving into the fiscal year 24 budgeting piece. Accounting updates, district staff have provided all the necessary information to the Poon Group for submission to Richardson CPAs. Essentially what this means is while there are a couple of items that are still outstanding, like the OPEB valuation, right, it's not necessary for Richardson to halt the work on the audit. So we expect to engage with Richardson over the next couple of weeks for testing and validation, and hopefully we'll have more information for the April Finance Committee meeting.
Okay.
Tyler implementation. The Tyler project team provided staff with a finalized schedule for the utility billing module implementation. System testing, updating, and validating data and process training began in the first week of February. We are still projected to conclude with a go-live date of April 1. Staff ran the utility billing for the week of February 27th and provided updated data to the Tyler project team. This data is specifically in our test environment, and I spent a great deal of time about 10 days ago working with this data, testing it, breaking the system, if you will, to determine where the disconnects are within the data upload and what the system recognizes. So we're working on several errors that we found. They were primarily with the tenant-landlord accounts. They operate differently in the utility system that we currently use versus how they are represented in the ENCODE system. So there is some programming that on the upload side that we will be working with Tyler to correct. Moving forward in the new system, it'll be very seamless and we won't have any issues with those. We're also working with the finalization of the paper bills and working with the printer to ensure that these print properly, all of the information is correct. There is some programming piece for ABS, our printers, that need to work out on their end, so we are working on that as well. Staff end-user training and testing will begin next week, beginning Monday. I'll have a little bit more of a timeline, probably next week for sure, but by April 1st or by the April Finance Committee meeting, we'll have more information as far as the timeline for the specific implementation, go live, utility billing for the end of April. And then once more information is available, we'll be posting information on the website. One thing that I didn't have the ability to include in here as I was wrapping up a Tyler communication meeting this afternoon, we are moving forward with the Tyler payment portal. So we will be transitioning residents off of the Paymentus payment portal and onto the Tyler payment portal. So there will be some significant messaging coming out in the next couple of months. We won't initially, once we do the cutover into Tyler, we won't specifically cut over at the same time with the Tyler payment portal. There will be a series of events that need to occur on our end and then communication with the public. So we'll start that messaging pretty soon. Monthly budget to actuals are attached. Once I finish with the staff report, I'll walk everyone through them. This is a summarized table by fund, which is broken out by the revenues and expenditures. And then moving forward for procurement and contracts under $25,000. We, again, contracted with Russ Branson to assist with the Prop 218 and budget forecasting. Lucy and Company and Municipal Resources Group, this is the accounting manager recruitment. We have the updated totals for the repayment of the interfund borrowing as of February 28th. And then moving on to utility billing, again, the district has 23 payment installment agreements with residents. We continue to encourage residents to enter into these installment plans to bring their accounts current. We've currently locked off 3 residents, and we work through the most egregious outstanding balances. We will begin water shutoffs this month. And we currently have 49 residents who are 90 days past due. There have been several residents who have actively contacted us and worked to bring their balances down without entering into installment agreements, and we greatly appreciate that as well. District staff are also continuing to review accounts. We're working to ensure these accounts are being charged correctly. We will have another upload for Tyler before we go live again, so we want to make sure that all of the incorrect billing amounts are corrected moving forward. We think we have pretty much everything covered. There's just a few accounts that are little stragglers that we're still working on. Once we pass the ordinance change, there will be some communications with some residents that are affected with the misapplied payments and incorrect charges and refunds and collections as well. For the aging report, the total amount due to the district for outstanding 60 to 90 day past due balances is $39,182.65, which you can see has gone down from last month's total. We currently have 45 residents who are 60 days past due for a total of $5,953, and 49 residents that are 90 days past due for a total of $33,229.64. Again, we will not be reporting the reserve funds balance sheet. We still do not have those numbers from the Poon Group. I spoke with the Poon Group this afternoon, and they are still working on finalizing those numbers and should be wrapping them up shortly. And then I've attached the district investment report for review.
Can we ask questions?
Yeah, if you want to ask questions of staff.
How confident are you that 2022-23 budget fund, does that look like that's the way it's going to end up?
The budget to actuals were as of December of 31st, so these are not year-end projections.
Talking about that little.
Yes, that's correct. Those are as of December 31st, 2022, so that's essentially a snapshot of the budget to actual detail that's attached to this.
I have a couple questions.
Yep. Is that your report?
That is my staff report, yes.
Okay, and then we're going to go through some of the other reports here. Steve, go ahead, please.
So I have two questions. One on the vendor check register. Of course, Barkowitz, Kronick, and Shanahan are our our regular legal team. I noticed payments made to two other law firms, nominal amounts, Best and Krieger, $1,518, Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, $362. What were those payments for?
Those are for training.
Okay. And then on the...
Paul, I'm sorry to correct. I think the Best and Krieger has to do with the PRA review.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you are correct. Yes.
They're assisting with PRA production.
Okay. And but the Liebert Cassidy Whitmore for sure is definitely training.
Yeah, and they do a lot of training.
Yes.
So, okay. And then, thank you. And then on the 100, the administration fund, expenditures for benefits and pension is at 95.48% through the first two quarters. Is that because those payments are specific time of year, or are we significantly over budget to date for benefits and pension?
So I know on one of them, as we make our CalPERS, one second, Mr. Sullivan, we make our CalPERS lump sum up front for that 1% or 2%.
We do have a lump sum payment. Sorry, I scrolled up and now I need to scroll back down. We do a lump sum payment for the PERS. We also have the monthly for our medical benefits and retirement costs as well. So benefits and pension, you're referring to the 95%. That,
yes.
I think there is some adjustments that we need to make in here. When we posted, we just recently posted the PERS amounts this week. So some of these need to be adjusted out of the 100 fund and into the correct funds with the associated employees. If that makes, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I understand your words.
Process.
Right. The process normally is that when we post the PERS payments, the monthly PERS health benefits and retirement costs, it is broken out by employee cost per fund, and so you wouldn't see a significant bulk of this being in the 100 fund. We had these posted within the last couple of days, which is why this is an attachment. We wanted to be able to at least represent the total cost of what we paid per so far. So that's why you're seeing the bulk of it in the 100.
The 250 fund, we're at 128.82% on that same item. So I you asked me if it makes sense. Again, I understand your words, but the postings in the other accounts don't necessarily support that. We're very low on the drainage fund, which makes sense because there aren't any employees there. But
there's also insurance costs that are associated with that as well. So we do have our GSRMA contract as part of that.
Security fund, we're just shy of 60%, which would be on schedule for this time of year. So I'm looking at the other two funds, and we seem to be way above schedule for the time of year.
How about if we do? Oh, you're on. I was gonna say, maybe we take it up with finance. But hello, finance. if you would make a note to reach
Absolutely.
Out to Director Booth on those two questions,
yes.
please.
Thank you.
And work with him for that. And I'll stop the board at this point, Mr. Sullivan.
So Director Booth is working on some of the John Sullivan 7075 Via Rabia. Was working on some of the same anomalies. This is theoretically the accrual for 6 months of the 2022-2023 year.
Mm-hmm.
So on 500, the security fund, it says that in the first quarter there were no commercial billings for taxes, which according to the second quarter would have been close to $70,000. Correct? That's been there since the second of the month. And there are, as Director Booth says, there are non-accrual items here that are in these numbers. And that skews everything. These are supposed to be accruals. Now, if you've got something that's an anomaly, such as the use of reserves to the tune of $432,000 under 250 wastewater fund, where it says capital improvements, there's a negative $432,000 there. $432,000 from what I would surmise was spent, but it came out of reserves. So the transfer in of reserves doesn't show, but you're now showing a negative expenditure for supervision in wastewater. And nobody's even looked at these numbers. Just the logic has not been looked at.
Well,
this is the same thing we looked at on March 2nd.
I
spent an hour and 42 minutes listening to the committee report because I wasn't able to be here. And this isn't much better than it was on the 2nd of March. The 2nd of March, I was quite disgusted, and I talked to a number of people that were equally as upset as I was that these numbers, if you want to look at what would scare anybody, is that you're hundreds of thousands of dollars off in water expenditures for the first 6 months. You're hundreds of thousands of dollars overspent in admin in the first six months.
Keep going.
I don't get it.
Well, if we did get it, we probably wouldn't have the discrepancies, quite honestly. And that is the reason we're working back with the Poon Group. You heard that we did a contract with another consultant to try and get these issues addressed specifically to our Prop 218 that's coming forward. So it's not that we don't hear you. It's not that we're not frustrated. I know internally, and I won't speak for Director Pohl, from the ad hoc committee, I know we're making progress. It's just not showing up in the consistency that it needs to be. And that's part of the difficulty that we're having moving forward, quite honestly.
I only bring this to everybody's attention because this Prop 218 notice to the community is vital to have received properly and delivered properly and
don't
transparent
disagree.
As can be so that everybody gets a chance to calmly go through what's being asked. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to wonder who, this doesn't seem like anybody's working on this. It just from the 2nd of March to now I see little or any change, and on the 2nd it was I'll use the word repugnant to me to take a look at it. It was a worthless piece of paper. And right now it's not much better. 400 and something thousand dollars in a credit, if nobody's picked that up in a half a month to see why there's no transfer in from reserves, leaving the reserves out of this analysis is tantamount to malfeasance. I mean, you've got to know what commitments you've made out of reserves, how much you have, and what theoretically is left or what you're going to overdraw, because that's part of your presentation to the community on why you need more money in reserves. So,
no, I understand. I understand. In our conversation, your thoughts, as I told you before, I'll take them, please. Because we are on a very tight timeline. Again, it's not that we're not looking at it. It's the consistency, and that's what we're trying to figure out, quite honestly.
Yeah. Well, being a former board member with 6 years invested in this, being on this board, I want to see it done right, so.
Well, and so to that point, that has been one of the specific items, not only to the Poon Group, but from the two board members to the GM and the director of administration. I need it right before I need it fast.
Absolutely.
And so it might sit this way for now, but once we get it as true as we know it, then that's when we're going to say this is as true as we know it. And my God, honest hope is the items that you picked out, we have it in process and it's identified.
So the plan is on the 27th of March is to have a special 218 meeting? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry. Did that answer your questions?
Well, I asked my questions and I got an answer.
Okay. Okay. I'll go down. Martin?
I was hoping this would be in better shape than we got in March, but it needs attention.
Okay. Director Butler?
Yeah, it's worrisome, to say the least. We have to do better.
Director Janko?
Just frustrated. I this is the first time I've seen this, and just so I have no way of analyzing mm-hmm. this stuff and have something intelligent to say about it. And it's frustrating.
Understand. I historically don't have anything intelligent to say, so with that, I think staff has picked up the frustration of where the board is at. Moving on to 7C. Kelly, please.
Thank you. Starting with us, our operations section. Currently, we have 8 full-time security officers and 1 part-time gate officer, and we have 3 patrol officers. Vacant, we have 1 part-time gate officer position open. However, on Monday, hopefully, a new part-time gate officer will begin.
And is that the one you mentioned at the committee meeting?
Correct.
Okay,
and,
very good. Thank
he's
you.
He's local. He lives here in the garden.
Yep, perfect.
And
thank you.
Once he's trained, we will do away with ABA.
Okay.
And so that way we won't have any, it'll be all in-house.
Right, I understand. Thank you.
On that note, if the hiring freeze ever does lift, I have a great applicant that wants to work security. He's been here in the South for 21 years. He's been in retail. He wants to come over. He knows our story. So I can't hire him now, but it's nice to have that in reserve that he wants to help out and come to work for us. So
I would ask, put that as agendized item for your next
okay.
security committee meeting, because I have a little bit further dialogue and then potentially take it back to the board. We do have a hiring freeze, but with a part-time, so what does that affect the overtime, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, great.
If that makes sense. So if you would
I'll bring it
agendize
up.
That.
Thank great. You. The month of February, we had 90 shifts to cover, 53 of them were covered. Our safety center repairs, Amelia set a timeline out last time. There's nothing new on that.
Okay.
We're just waiting for the supplies, and hopefully a summer time will be repairs will be completed. Again, the Toyota truck, supply-demand issues, it's still on order. Rancho Murrieta, talking with them, I was informed that the general manager at Rancho Murrieta is leaving, so we've been working together on closing some issues that we've been working on. They told me that they would they're working on putting on 2 signs in front of the bridges that say 10 miles an hour, and that's something they're working on. So I did ask him about the educational, and that's what he told me they're working on. A speed bump? No, no, we didn't talk about that. We talked about the two. They said, he said the two signs is what they were working on. So I did reach out and ask for that. Again, we're working with their staff to get the best dash cam for the stop sign violations, because it just makes it a better all around when there's no he said, she said in that, and we can show video of what happened. And that seems to be, and we want to have the same system. So we are currently working with them. Again, we talked about parking enforcement. We're getting a lot of complaints about people parking issues. There's too many vehicles parking the vehicles. We're not enforcing it. And again, we're kind of limited, but we can only cite between, I think it's 2 and 6 in the morning. So we are coming in earlier in the morning so we can start enforcing that. So,
Kelly?
Yes.
Do Chris and Matt work later or come in earlier, or do they do a typical sort of...
They work a 4-10 schedule, and I know one of them comes in earlier. He starts right at 6 o'clock in the morning, and the other one starts in a little bit later. But that window to get the parking citations, that's the key, and they rely a lot on us for that. And so we're starting to come in 5 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I think Mel tomorrow will be here at 3 in the morning, just so we can do a little bit of that enforcement.
Better coverage, yeah.
Better coverage, yeah. Okay. So we are working with them.
Okay.
I will say this, our radio program with CSD has been very helpful. There was a traffic accident, serious traffic accidents between two golf carts, head-on collision. The female was a victim, was ejected from the golf cart. She was transported to the hospital, and I was already on a call with the sheriff's department, so they immediately heard it over the radio, went out there and responded, and they assisted us. So that program is working out pretty
well.
The radio.
That was our intent.
So maybe we'll get them one, because there's two of them. So maybe
at the end of the day, so would you put that on your agenda?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Next time. I met with the manager at the village. They're concerned with their storage lot being constantly vandalized, burglarized. The big issue of the last couple months has people have been cutting their barbed wire fence and stealing gas, siphoning gas from their RVs and vehicles that are left there.
So
I'm sorry?
I said, who thinks of this stuff?
Who thinks? Criminals, thieves, I don't know, burglars. So I surveyed the area and I gave her some tips. There's not adequate lighting back there. There's not cameras back there. So I gave her a whole bunch of security tips that can help improve that area, and they're going to take some of our suggestions. So with that, we'll go on to our next slide.
Is this what
next
you
one?
Wanted?
Yeah, we go next one. If there's no questions, we'll go to the next one.
Nope.
These are our citations, gate entries, about the same.
Can we talk gate entries?
Sure.
For a second?
Yeah, stop right there. Yeah.
I've had conversation with the GM. I had conversation with you before the meeting. Again, I think we have to reiterate to staff consistency. I think staff, in a particular incident, did an outstanding job. And I would ask that it's just reverberated back down to that specific staff member, the professionalism that was taking place. But again, I'll use the town hall as construction kicks up again when the rain stops. We just have to be ahead of these things. It's not necessarily our position to go out and contact those representatives of those groups, but we just have to be aware of it. So I know you are. You just did as an example.
And I talked to the person working the gate that day, and if he's sick, I put out a blast to all the other gate officers in case they have to take it. You have two patrol officers there. You have Sergeant Albram will be there, and I think Vitale will be there at your meeting, at your disposal. So between all that, there should be no problem with people
Thank you.
Getting in. So.
Thank you.
And with that, I will also say we're always looking to train our officers, and they work on they're under a microscope. They are video recorded 24/7.
Yep.
All their phone conversations are recorded.
Yep.
So we're constantly reviewing those tapes to provide better customer service and to resolve some issues. A lot of times when I tell people, hey, you're recorded, and I'm listening to what you're saying, and they kind of back down a little bit and say, oh, well, I didn't mean A, B, or C, but it kind of takes out that he said, she said when it comes to the issues at the gates. And so it's been quite valuable to have those recorded, video and audio, and phone calls are all recorded at the gate.
And really, let's be real clear. The professionalism you bring and just that process you described of quality assurance has paid off.
We're seeing it.
Again, all I ask of the employees is to be safe, competent, consistent, and safe and courteous, right? So
right.
The consistency we are now at. And so, again, as I tell you in committee meetings, we reach this level and all I do is take resources away from you. So to that end, it does not go unnoticed.
Thank you.
So thank you.
And our next slide is our, there's no questions with that. We can move on to the next one. And again, I apologize. A draft version got sent. So that's why there's several typos on it. So I'll update it after the meeting.
Perfect.
But I have enough notes to go forward.
Sure. Okay.
So these are for February. On February 9th, 2023, at approximately 2:15 in the afternoon, CSD was requested at Marietta Parkway and Guadalupe Drive for a traffic accident between the two golf carts. The two golf carts had a head-on collision that ejected one of the drivers onto the street. The CHP and Metro 59 responded to the scene. The injured driver is transported to the hospital for treatment. The CHP is investigating the incident. I talked about this earlier, that both compliance officers responded immediately and held the scene to traffic because I was engaged in something else. The Sheriff's Department, the CHP in this case is doing the primary investigation. On February 12, 2023 at 2:50 hours, CSD security responded to the Bel Air Market to investigate suspicious activity. Upon arrival, the CSD officer was advised that a male suspect had entered the store and selected several bottles of alcoholic beverages and departed the store without payment. A store employee followed the suspect out to the parking lot and demanded the items be returned. The suspect returned the items without incident. As the security officer arrived on scene and saw that the scene was handled, the suspect, who was dropped off by a friend, the friend had departed, approached our security officer and stated that he didn't steal the merchandise, he just forgot his wallet and forgot to return the property as he
left
the store.
I'll give my account number, in lieu of. I don't do that anymore.
He said he was from the Wilton area and wouldn't provide us proper identification. And management declined to call the sheriff's department because the beverages were returned. So no harm, no foul, I guess. On February 12, 2023, at about 9 o'clock in the evening, CSD security was dispatched to a residence on Para Drive, of a trespassing suspect. The couple who resided in the home advised the officer that an unknown female had entered their house through an unlocked door. The suspect then began to yell at the residents. The suspect then exited the house and began to throw rocks at the house. The suspect departed the location and was never located. The victims did not recognize the suspect and believe that she may have been intoxicated with Super Bowl events or activities. The Sheriff's Department was not contacted. They refused. On February 17, 2023, about 7:30 in the evening, CST patrol was dispatched to investigate a group of juveniles causing disturbance inside the Burger King. Our patrol officers contacted the manager and was advised the juveniles were being loud, littering, and bullying one of their employees. A CSD officer contacted the juvenile's parents, and they were all advised that they were not allowed to return to the restaurant unless they were accompanied by their parents.
And just a point of order there, I don't mean to interrupt you, Kelly. It's one of those, this is a case where the officers knew the individuals.
He recognized one of them.
And was able to follow up directly, and the parents agree that in this case the juveniles are not going to be at Burger King moving forward, et cetera, et cetera. And again, this is just an example of what security could be doing 24/7. But again,
correct.
I'll be Scrooge. I'm the one taking resources from it. So.
And I'll talk about this next month, but the big issue we're having now, we're starting to get a little wiser to it, is we're starting to see the juvenile, younger people going to the equestrian center stealing pallets. And they take those pallets and they go to South Beach or anywhere in the back area, and that's where they're starting their bonfires. So our gate officers are aware of this, so they're starting to, they see people, these kids coming in the golf carts with their pallets, and they're starting to ask questions at least. So at least we know where they're getting it from and what they're doing, but it's an ongoing problem. So. We're trying to start managing resources before the summer and spring break happens. But yeah, that's an issue right now we're seeing.
Interesting.
Always one step.
Because I don't think in all my time, even on the RMA board, we've had that. They burn stuff, don't get me wrong, but... I'll speak for my kids. They weren't smart enough to go someplace.
Right.
They had to scrounge the stuff up. So.
And I don't understand the theory with the pallets or how many they need, but they put the stuff on the pallet and they do it higher, but still with the wind and the fire.
Nope, I get
so,
it.
So, okay. Yeah, but that's the latest what's happening.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have. No questions.
I'll open it up to the board. Any questions of Kelly?
Just to thank you.
Thank you.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Travis.
Sure.
Please.
Good evening. We'll start off with the water treatment plant. There hasn't really been any change currently. Plant 1 still offline, and we are running Plant 2. We're ready to put Plant 1 back online. We're just waiting for the demand.
Okay.
So just no reason to make any changes at this time. Water consumption, as of February 28th, our cumulative water production for this year is at 41 million gallons. That is currently 10.3 million gallons less than the same use period of last year and 9.3 million gallons less than 2020, which is good. And I'm attributing that to a lot of the weather. So, but, you know, if we can make less, that's great for us.
I understand.
Raw water storage, as of March 8th, the total water currently stored in the lakes is about 4,040 acre feet. As of March 8th, we've only pumped like 920 acre feet from the pump station. We haven't had to because of the rain. As it sits right now, Clementia is full and spilling. Chesbro is 94% full, and Calero is 92% full. So we haven't had to pump, and plus with the water coming down there, it's just not worth pumping right now. We don't need to take it.
Understand.
April 15th, we'll be putting the boards in, so we can raise it higher another 2 feet.
That's when we're allowed to put them in, right?
That is correct, April 15th.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to point out one error. I don't know where I was thinking when I made this error. On the Calero storage, the difference in the acre feet, that's 200 acre feet from February 23rd to February 22nd. I don't know why I put 71.2. But so I did the addition wrong. I did the addition right under it. I don't know what I was thinking when I did that. So
hold on 1 second, Travis.
Yep.
What was the total water use?
For?
Is this for the whole... fiscal year?
No, this is just since January 1st. Calendar year for the usage, correct.
That answer your question? Okay, go ahead, Travis.
Okay. So, and then we have our graphs for those who like to look at graphs. That tells a wonderful story of how we're doing so far this year.
Thanks, Travis. I like to look at graphs.
Yep, and you know, graphs are great.
Well, it gives you an historical perspective.
Absolutely, and they are the wonderfulest thing to go ahead and update every single month.
Well, thanks for that, Travis.
Yeah, no.
Can we move our whole fiscal system over to a graph then?
Sure, every single month. No.
What was that?
Moving on to sewer, the wastewater facility is currently still off. The current average dry weather influent flow for February was 0.438 million gallons. The district, we put out an RFP bid, which we'll be talking about a little bit later, for replacement of the drying bed pump station.
Okay.
We'll go over that a little bit more.
Okay.
We go, there's no reason
Thank
to waste time right now. Utility stars, the utility crew had 13 utility stars that were completed, which ranged from final reads to rebates to meter swap outs. They did 12 811 field markings for different projects that were requested. We had 6 homeowner calls. 2 were related to high usage, and others were related to just water leaks that were determined to be the homeowner's responsibility. We had 3 water leak repairs this month. 23 meters were replaced in February. And utility staff jetted 1,910 feet of sewer main as part of our preventative maintenance that we do throughout the year. Drainage has been inspected several times this month to make sure, you know, as the storms were coming this month, we wanted to make sure that there was no clogged up storm drains. So make sure, and everything seemed to work fine. Fantastically.
Have the sheep and goats helped?
You know what? Actually, they have.
Okay. There you go.
They have. The SB 170 funded projects, there has not been any change since last month.
Can I interrupt you just briefly? I did have a call from Thomas Hoffman, the project manager for that. And he's going to be in contact with us in the next few weeks. He apologized for the delay on the 100% design, so that's
moving forward. Okay. So once again, I lied to you and I apologize. There was a little update. Sorry.
No, that's my fault. I can tell you.
Moving down to the Lake 11 update. So Lake 11's is pretty much done. The lid was put on there, and there was a topping put on there to keep it safe so people won't step in it. The only issue that we have was that we needed to lock it down. So we got a drawing from our engineer for a locking mechanism on there. We approved it. They sent it in to Lund, and that's getting taken care of right now.
And to that point, to you, Travis, and to Michael, the residents say thank you for coming up with that solution. So duly appreciated. Again, like I said, I own it. I never thought of leaving it better than we found it type of thing. It was just emergency mode. So thank you for doing that.
Yes, sir. And Rio, also, there's no updates since last year. We're still waiting on VFDs.
Got it.
For that.
Hold on one second, Travis.
What do we have in secondary storage right now?
We currently have, from our first page, we currently have right now 351 acre feet of storage in there. That was as of the end of February. Yep. We're actually about 24 acre feet more at this time than we were last year. So,
I think you're at lift stations.
Yes, the lift stations. We're still waiting on the designs from our engineers to move forward on the lift station repairs. 3B is still our priority. We're just waiting on the drawings. They've been approved. They've been told to move forward getting the drawings going. So we're just waiting on that right now.
So
in process.
To that point, maybe it goes to you, Michael.
Yeah.
As we're doing those upgrades, would it be possible to put the camera system in place?
Oh.
Or at least ensure we got electricity? I know with the general manager leaving from the homeowners association, I know there's a little bit of a reset on the camera process that we have, but if we're going to be doing work and we know it's these two, maybe we can get that tied in. I'm going to reach back to the homeowners association and figure that out more, but if we can run electricity, let's run it now. Put the camera and we kind of go from there. That's my thought.
That would probably make a better project just on its own. Like
okay, and that's fine.
But we can take a look for sure.
You got it.
I hear
brought
what
it
you're
up.
Saying.
Yep. Thank you.
I hope you know what he's talking about because
I'll let you know later.
Okay.
Just like he did on that other thing.
Right.
Yeah. I'm with you, sir.
Yeah. You got to send me an email to remind me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Will you send me an email to remind me? Thank you.
Absolutely.
Development, Riverview, as Michael had said earlier, they've completed their punch list items, and they are, and the utilities, and staff will be bringing the acceptance to the board here. I guess that's an agendized item later on tonight. The retreats, the contractors working on some on the punch list items. There's been a development within the storm drain. Apparently, their elevations are off a little bit, and the influent pipes are lower than the effluent pipes. So it leaves standing water inside the manholes and storm drains.
And we're currently working with our district engineer to determine how bad the problem is before we come up with the proposed solution for KHOV to make.
Okay.
Yep. Circle K, I found out today, apparently they've got their fire service inspected, finally from the fire marshal, and so they're going to be moving forward on that, and they're still working on the construction of the building. Tractor Supply, as everyone is aware, Tractor Supply is open and moving forward. They finished all their punch list items. I got their final designs today and as built, so we have that, and they're moving forward. Marietta Gardens Pet Hospital, the construction, once they get it all, once the wetness stops, they're doing construction on their building. They still have the issue with the water line, with their retaining wall wanting to be put pretty much right over the water line. It's been determined that they're going to be moving the water line. So it's just getting that scheduled. Okay. To get that done.
And I believe, hasn't Joe approved the submittals for that?
He has. Okay. The issue, we have some issues that we want to deal with. I'll be talking with Michael about them. We'll be bringing them later to the improvements committee. Because we're going to be taking a loop system and making it not a loop system. We want to make sure that there's enough water.
That's temporary, correct?
Yeah, that's just temporary while they're removing the water line.
Understand.
So, but we just got to make sure there's still enough water for that whole area. So okay. we'll be looking at that. As for that, that is my report. If you have any questions, please.
Board, I'll start with you, Martin.
I have no questions. Thank you.
Steve?
I have none. Thank you.
No, thanks.
Only to comment the obvious, and that is that's great that we're not having to produce the water, but it's also a revenue decrease.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Just one more.
I'm just an operator, sir. I just produce the water.
Keep producing it.
Yeah, we might have to force people to take it.
Yeah.
No, understand. Travis, thank you. I appreciate that. Item 8, it's already up there, list of all the meetings, is the 27th on
That's
there.
Our special board meeting.
Yeah, I believe that's Monday.
Yep, there it is. Okay, thank you. If the board has any issues with it, please work back to Amelia, should she ever return. Item 9, we have correspondence, and I just want to point out a couple of them. One, I can't remember what the resolve was, and that's with 9A. I know that we've had correspondence about the cow waste, and what cow waste does is not exactly what Sacramento County does versus Sacramento City does. Versus what City of Folsom does. So I don't know. I'm just at a loss because I know we've had contact.
I reached out to Cal Waste and asked, why. Because I'm hearing all kinds of different things, so I wanted to talk directly with the company that we're utilizing. And if I understand correctly, the bags, that they don't want to use the degradable bags because they say that it limits where they could potentially take the organic matter to. And it was a business decision made by them. Mm-hmm. And we actually have someone from Cal Waste that could potentially speak about that at our meeting, if given a chance.
Yeah, so, and yes, I do want to hear from you in 1 second, but go ahead, Mr. Sullivan.
John Sullivan again. The retreats, west, north, and east, have no yard waste. Because
correct.
Everything is recycled water or purple pipe to
right.
all the landscape irrigation.
Right.
And therefore, the residents don't have any yard waste. It's the association that has the yard waste. Are we going to try to deal with that? Because that will be the case anytime we got, you know, purple pipe going to a subdivision.
Right. So we did have conversation, I want to say our last ad hoc committee meeting, because we're already subsidizing a portion of the contract as a district. And there really isn't a process right now, if I remember correctly, in the contract on supplying that. And so I honestly don't remember. I'll have to go back to my notes. We did talk about it because it's limited right now, but it could potentially expand. And then it's, if you get the trash container and it's yard waste, it's really what you're obligated for because of the assembly bill. It's not because you actually have yard waste. So there's a potential for that resident now to incur a trash can cost to meet that assembly bill. And so that's where we're talking through that process.
Okay, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we're only paying for the garbage can. And the yard clippings cans free. As a matter of fact, two of them. I got two of them.
Okay, first of all, just because it's free doesn't mean you can take as many as you want. Okay? Let's set some boundaries.
The contract
okay.
Says that.
Well, I get because it says it, Martin. I understand the question.
Thank you.
And I'm not necessarily going to put, I know we talked about it, Paula, and I'm not going to put you on the spot. This is a long-term issue we got to figure out, especially for residents that don't have that trash can. What does that mean? I just don't know. But, sir, come on down, please.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rudy Vacareza with Cal Waste. My family's owned and operated Cal Waste for the last 80 years. So, I'm just here to answer questions.
You honestly don't look that old. So I
yeah.
applaud you for however that's yeah. worked.
So I didn't say me, you know,
right.
family. But, I'm here to answer questions. I mean, maybe to Director Bull's question
yeah.
about the container. So, you know, your yard and your what used to be your yard and garden that is now your mixed residential organics container is picked up weekly now. So the rate is not for trash service. It's for the three bin system that you have. So your residential rate is for all three services,
so
not just the trash.
So there's no extra cost?
No. So each residence can have up to 5 carts total, and that pretty much means 1 trash container, 2 organics and 2 recycling, or 3 organics and 1 recycling, or vice versa. So that's included in your rate as well.
How about the question of these yeah. compostable bags?
Yeah, so, you know, compostable bags have been an issue across the state, whether they're accepted in programs or not. And, you know, us as a company, none of our customers that have implemented this program, compostable bags are not acceptable in our program. You know, you can call it a business decision. Sort of on a more practical level, you then become the plastic bag police of, is that bag actually the ADHA 6400 series, or is it the 3000 series?
Yeah, that's all I use.
Or is it the clear bag that you got from the grocery store that day because you ran out of some other ones? So it's, while compostable bags are accepted in other programs, we did decide as a company and with the district to not accept those bags. So okay. It's a, you're not the only jurisdiction asking these same questions. You know, plastic bags aren't allowed in recycling as well. So, you know, the direction is, you know, you can contain your food scraps in your kitchen in plastic bags, but once it goes out into your cart, you just need to dump it out into there, and then the plastic bag goes in the trash can. I know it's not the most convenient answer for people, but unfortunately, that is the reality of the program.
No, yes. That's fine.
I had a question. Do you know of any organic containers that could go into that into the organic can, like something that's made that's not a compostable bag? Do you know of anybody that's doing an organic workaround, if you will?
Like a paper bag?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's different solutions, right? A lot of times you can line your thing
That's
with...
That's what I was getting at. What's the workaround?
You can line your stuff with newspaper, put it on newspaper. So what is acceptable in the program is like food soiled paper.
Right.
You know, you can argue that the paper bag, you know, it would work probably if you dump it right in the paper bag, walk it out to the trash and put it in there. But if you lined it with a paper bag, it would probably just get wet through and go out.
Yep.
I mean, the best way that we find is that you have this, you know, plastic lined container that you're keeping this food waste in your kitchen. I mean, I keep mine right on the kitchen counter. You go dump it out, you bring it inside, you rinse it out in the sink / wash it.
Director Booth, please.
So the correspondence that we have from one of our residents asserts that Galt is a Cal Waste client, and that their residents are allowed to use compostable bags. Can you address that?
That's incorrect. They are not allowed to use compostable bags in their program.
Okay. I think once we go to security, do the enforcement inspections in a couple years, I think then we'll be able to really get a handle on this.
Kelly can't wait.
Yep. Understand.
Something for you to do.
So, Rudy, I guess a question, and I might, well, so I'll ask it. So in our newer developments that don't have the yard waste, what is the process for them to get a mixed container?
So
mixed-use container.
Yeah. You know, I guess if you go down to the goal of the law / the state mandate of why we're all doing this is like every residential unit must recycle mixed organic.
Right, but so they historically don't have a yard to do anything with,
yes.
Right? So,
but it's not yard anymore. It's
I understand.
Organic.
So I guess my question is, if I understood Mr. Sullivan correctly, they just don't have one. So is it the individual residents need to contact you and ask for the mixed-use container? Or when they come online, is it automatically issued a three-container to each household?
You know, we would work with the district and, you know, the space requirements, like what needs to be done. I mean, you could even share service between different units. It really just matters what the district wants us to do.
Understand.
So we could give everybody all their own carts. We could give some shared version of carts. We just need to work with the district to figure out the game plan.
Understand.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was just wondering, because I don't have a gray can, which is going to be some other color at the soon. To get a garbage can that large for, you know, one person's wet garbage for the week, wouldn't it make some sense to have smaller containers?
On a micro level, for you, it may. But from the standpoint of, you know, servicing the whole community, you know, we've had a standard cart size that we use, and the larger cart size is what we have. I would say with, you know, we wouldn't mind talking with the district about potentially offering a 64-gallon organics option under certain circumstances.
Sure.
But currently, right now, the only cart that we can provide per our agreement is the 96 or the 95-gallon cart.
Yeah. Now, isn't some of that the way that it just gets lifted and dumped?
Yeah.
That's the infrastructure that you have.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it with less than the 35-gallon cart. They used to make a 20-gallon that had like a false bottom in it. They no longer make those. They just were a nightmare to take care of.
And I think for everybody's edification, as this, and just so no one thinks I stuttered, this unfunded mandate that is upon us, as we move forward in this upcoming years, there's more obligations for us. And so just like you said, we as a community can't tell you what we need because the community's still trying to figure it out. We have a gentleman that is having correspondence with us, and it's just not making any sense to me. And so obviously we have our work cut out in the educational process. So, you know, it's unfortunately it's going to be trial and error. Yeah. Until we get stuff figured out, especially with development coming, we should be able to figure out a process from that standpoint. But I'll open it up to the board. Any questions? Any other questions, Rudy?
Nope.
No, thank you.
That's my question.
Yep. Rudy, I appreciate it. Please do not hang around. Okay. Go before the sun sets.
Thanks. And I do think we are on the November or March 27th meeting. So we can talk about this more, I think then.
Oh, right. That's just our Prop 218
the budget
process. Yeah. So, understand.
Okay. All right.
No,
great.
Thanks. I
thanks
appreciate
again.
It.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You
do. Okay, so that was item 9A. 9B, I just want to point out that I don't know the author of the letter. I just know the author was very supportive of the protest on the 218 limit. But my understanding, I just want to get a confirmation from the other board members, was that it was pretty clear a 9% rate increase is something that this person now realizes is needed.
Acceptable.
Yeah, acceptable within the district. And I'll leave it at that unless any other board members want to comment. And that's all I have on correspondence, unless somebody has something. Item 10, comments from the public, not on the agenda.
Not on the agenda, but I'd like to go back to item 8, the monthly calendar.
Yes.
I noticed that the meeting for March 18th says it's at 2 p.m. That sounds wrong to me.
It is wrong.
Oh, that is wrong. Yeah. Good catch.
Okay, that's my point.
Yeah, just for everybody's edification, that's 10 a.m.
So on March 18th?
Saturday.
I have, in the board packet, I have 10 a.m., unless I'm missing something.
That's what I have, too.
I think it was just a typo on that.
Oh, on the overhead.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you, but it didn't jump out at me because I've got 10 o'clock on here, but thank you for that. Item 11. Martin, I know some of it was covered in the closed session with legal counsel, but if you've got something else to add on the ad hoc committee.
Yeah,
We've been, the board formed this ad hoc committee to, which consists of myself and the president, and we've been meeting weekly with the general manager, the staff, and the Poon Group to give some guidance on a variety of issues, and those issues within the last month have been the recruitment of the general manager, the recruitment of accounting manager, schedules for the audits, and we discussed the Prop 218 notice and the proposed budget for next year and plans for public input for those same issues. We've talked about the financial services agreements, and we talked about putting out an RFP for a cost allocation study and a five-year Prop 218 rate study. And lastly, we've talked about the integrated water master plan and study and the plans we're going to have for public input, which is Saturday. That's about it.
Thank you, Martin. Item number 12 is adoption of Ordinance 2023-01, amending district code. If I'm not mistaken, we saw this last month.
That's correct.
So, really, if there's any questions, I didn't see anything that jumped out at me that was different.
No changes.
If there were no changes, I'll make a motion to accept as written by staff. If I could have a second.
I'll second it.
If I could have a roll call, please.
President Mabee?
Aye.
Director Poole?
Aye.
Director Jenkins?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Item 13.
Okay, so this is the task order for public engagement with Adkins Mattis for the Integrated Water Master Plan. Now, I will say that we do not have a resolution ready at the time of this meeting to appropriate the funds, but the board could approve the contract amount, and then we can bring the resolution back to the April meeting.
No, we could bring it back, and correct me, Mr. Ramos, can we bring it back to the 27th meeting?
You can.
So if you would, and I don't want to put it on staff that quick, but my preference is it's that important. Yeah. We get it to the earliest and move it forward from that.
It was an oversight, and we were being careful with the Brown Act.
I understand. That's fine. So with that said, we've all had a chance to take a look at it. I'll open it up to the board if you have any questions of staff. Martin?
No, I understood what they were saying, and I compared it to their previous contract, and didn't seem to be any overlap, so I'm in favor of it.
Okay. Director Booth?
I have nothing to add, thank you.
Director Butler?
I have a bunch of things.
Okay.
Just backing up a little bit, in the process of trying to put this first meeting, all of the meetings together, but in particular the first meeting, because that was going to be the introduction to what is going to be happening with the Integrated Water Master Plan. And for myself, my concept, or what I understood was going to happen, was that it would be maybe four or five major opening up questions, and then which would include, you know, what is an Integrated Water Master Plan? Why are we doing it? How will it get done? And just some basic questions. How do we get here? Where do we want to end up? And in addition to that, I think most importantly, the first meeting was intended to give our residents, ratepayers, the community, whatever you want to refer to all of us as, an opportunity to ask questions and express concerns before and during the process. Mm-hmm. I got this. I had to read it about five times.
What's this?
The Adkins stuff. Email,
okay.
That you
gotcha.
Sent out. And it's too much. For the first meeting. I think that we need to scale it down, and they're talking about slides and figures and tables and maps, and this is...
This isn't just for the meeting. This is
no,
for,
I understand oh, okay. that, but I'm just saying that gotcha. What they're talking about for meeting one, it seems like there's going to be no time for people to actually express their interests and concerns. So I'm usually a person who likes to have all the details mm-hmm. and everything mapped out. In this case, I'd like to see us get started in a way that is not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And the one question that I think should be asked is, what the heck is a shared vision model? Because I found it in the old one,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think that that's a terminology that people are terribly familiar with, or at least I'm not. So it's probably too late.
Well, nothing's too late.
I don't know what they're going to bring to us on Saturday.
I can fill you in if you'd like to know. We just had a discussion about it.
You did. Okay. Is it going to make me feel better?
That's kind of up to you. We're going to start with very briefly for about 10 minutes. We're going to collect questions from people. And then after we collect those questions, we're going to provide a very brief overview of, like, I'm going to take the what's an integrated master plan.
Great.
Why are we doing this?
Okay.
And then, the consultants are going to talk about their role in that. And then we're going to open up for questions.
Okay.
And a majority of this meeting is, we're going to be providing information to people,
mm-hmm.
but we're also going to be getting information from the people. So this is a two-way conversation.
Hopefully, yeah.
A lot of time is going to be utilized taking questions.
Okay.
And if we can't answer the question on the spot, we'll just say we can't answer that question.
Okay. No. Right.
But that's kind of what we're looking at as far as the.
Okay. Well, that sounds better than I imagined.
Good. I'm glad you feel better.
I do feel better. There's some things in going forward in that what they're talking about presenting. And I just have some comments, and I can just talk with you about it.
Okay.
Some ideas, some thoughts.
Sure.
Our response to this.
You also realize when consultants set up a scope of work, they're trying to capture what they intend on, that this is not a lump sum contract. This is the time and materials. And so if we end up doing less, it'll cost us less.
Okay.
So if I may, Michael, there's a reference to meeting one. Says this meeting will also include two virtual 1.5-hour preparation meetings and one 1.5-hour virtual debriefing meeting.
That's for the people who are...
The virtual means Zoom.
I understand.
Okay.
And as we discussed with the consultant that's going to help us facilitate the meeting, I'm not anticipating that we need 3 hours for this meeting on Saturday. I'm thinking it should be much shorter than that, if it's well organized, unless the community has that many questions that we need to address.
I budgeted for 3 hours in case we need it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We had one of the virtual meetings today, like, hey, how's everybody doing with their slides and what's going to be, kind of talking through the process and getting ready. So there was one virtual meeting that happened today.
Okay, so I see.
What they're saying is that they're
preparing.
Those are preparation meetings.
So it's not in advance of...
Yes.
It's in advance of our Saturday meeting.
Correct. It's
now I understand the reference. Yeah. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. I could see where that would be. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions?
I think I'm okay.
Dr. Janko?
No, I had my question answered. This is time and materials not to exceed this amount.
So, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, am I mistaken? I was under the impression when this originally came up that management was telling us that this was included in the original contract.
No.
And now it's $40,000?
No, it was never included.
It was
an add-on into the scope of work, and that's why it's coming back to us.
Right. Okay, possibly. I'll have to look at my notes.
So, Mr. Gears, while you're there, have you seen the postings over that I put up over at the village offices?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I've seen one, yes.
Nice.
So...
If I remember right, Travis saved us that $40,000 already, right?
Correct. It was an offset, yeah.
Good like that.
Yeah, but then he decreased our revenue by not making enough
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
I didn't say I'm great. I just said I'm good.
Kelly had to fix his building.
Yeah. Yeah, sold the rest in the back market.
Shoulders are only so big.
This is really just an informational item because it's got to come back to us in the form of a resolution.
Yeah, I mean, okay. We can, I believe...
So direction is move forward with the resolution. It comes to us. I would ask you reach out to the contracting firm, probably wait till Saturday, mm-hmm. let them know that the consent of the board is to move to a vote on a resolution.
Correct.
So even though we don't have it today and we're using their services, mm-hmm. it appears that it'll be... Go ahead before I...
And I'd actually ask for clarification. Were you seeking approval to enter into the contract today contingent upon having the budget appropriation done?
Right.
That gives the contractor some
Well, they have enough money. They have enough money to burn through before
okay.
next week. So I think, but yeah, but thank you. That would have helped.
I wasn't necessarily looking for that term, burn through, but thank you. And thank you, Mr. Ramos. I see where you were going with that. So with that, I'm just going to close out item 13. You have direction, Michael. You can work with the contractor. Item 14 has been pulled for those that weren't here at the beginning of the meeting. And it's going to be basically moved to our board meeting of the 27th at 2 p.m. Item 15, approval bid, wastewater plant drying bed. I believe this is you, Travis.
So the district is asking the board to approve a bid that was submitted by Prodigy Electric for the rehab of the drying bed pump station. A little history on it. The gas is from the, at the sewage plant. The gases, the hydrogen sulfide gases are very corrosive. And the panel was literally placed right above the wet well. So over the years, it has literally just eaten all of the electronics inside
the
panel.
Are we moving the panel?
We will be moving part of it. We'll be moving the panel.
Good question.
I read that.
I am, once again, want to make sure that this lasts for a long time. Yeah. So the idea is to actually move the panel, replace all of the electronics and the communications up to the control room. Because... for the past year and a half, that pump station has been working on a float system, which we end up replacing the floats two or three times a year because of the gases. It's supposed to work on a level system, and the PLC will turn it on and off. So we're going to be moving it away from the wet well up against the fence, putting in all new electronics and communication to the panel.
Okay.
The resolution was will have to be brought to the 27th meeting.
Okay.
So we're seeking the board's approval for the amount of the bid was $69,626 with the 15% contingency account for the total of $80,015. If this was an approved CIP project that had an appropriation of $75,000. There were two bids. One was from Prodigy and one was from Telstar, and Prodigy was the lower bid.
Okay. So with that, all we have to do is make a vote to move it forward, and then we'll get the resolution to accept it on the 27th, if I understand correctly.
That's my understanding.
I'm not sure that we need a resolution to accept this. Wouldn't it be sufficient to direct staff, to accept the bid from Prodigy and direct staff to work on a contract?
We actually need to appropriate additional funds.
Which is the 5,000.
Which is the 5,000.
Just for my clarification, I know we've been doing a lot here in the last few days. Just so I understand, we're adding the 15% contingency because of unknown factors when you get into the panel? Is that
correct?
Okay.
Yeah, apparently that is, oops, I didn't see that when it happened, fund.
So you think there might be some additional damage that we...
I don't believe so.
Okay.
Because we're basically replacing everything there. But we are going to be removing wire and replacing conduit underground. And it's I've always just, they've always put a contingency on the bids.
And I don't mean to throw a wrench in things, but would it be possible to approve this contract? And if we get into trouble, then we bring it back to the board for additional funds. That's,
I was just having a sidebar.
Because we can just do that. We can get started. The downside is if he works fast before the next meeting and he gets into trouble, we'll have to guess and do it after the fact.
In two weeks, we're going to be at a board meeting.
Yeah, and it'll also be within my authority, the additional.
Correct.
So that's what I say we potentially do.
To clarify for board, we could do the appropriation of $75,000, and it's because we've already approved that.
Correct.
Right?
It's already been approved.
So if the amount's $69,000, that still gives you a little bit on the contingency factor. Then if we have to go above it, the reason it's got to go, because the GM doesn't have authorization at any level to go above a reserve. So that's why it would have to go to the resolution. The way it's written here, if I make a motion to accept staff's recommendation of the $75,000 and to enter into contract negotiations and start the work, if it comes back that the contingency that's left over from the $69,626 would go to the GM, and then it would fall under your purview. Within the $25,000, you just report out, A, it's completed, and B, you use a portion of that $25,000.
Excellent.
That's my motion. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Could I have a roll call, please?
Oh, I was going to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
When do they expect to start?
I didn't want him to order anything because he's got to order the panel and the PLC. I learned my lesson a long time ago. I wait until the board says yes, go ahead, before I even have them move forward. So it's all going to be a lot of the stuff he has in his shop. I'll be talking with him on Friday. He'll be here on site, get an idea. But he's going to have to order some of the stuff, probably the panel and stuff. So it, you're probably looking 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, great. Thank you,
mm-hmm. Director Booth.
Thank you, Travis. I know that the the copy of the March 9th memorandum from you to the Board of the Directors that was in the board packet looks a little different than the one I received tonight at the meeting. There's an additional paragraph.
Correct.
So I would simply ask the staff substitute the updated version.
Good call.
Since the board packet document is different than the one we looked at tonight.
Yes, sir.
Good catch. Thank you. Any other questions or comments of the board?
You ready for a roll call?
Yeah. As soon as you're ready, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Okay. President Beebe?
Aye.
Director Polk?
Aye.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 16, DOP Resolution R-2023-6, accepting Riverview infrastructure. I know we had a little bit of the board... the GM update covered a little bit of this, but Michael, I think it's to you.
Yes, that's to me. So we're requesting that the board approve resolution R2023-06, accepting the water, sewer, and storm utility infrastructure from Riverview Phase 1A and 1B, and authorize me to sign the bill of sale that will officially accept this infrastructure from the Rainer and Bartus Homes. Once this infrastructure is accepted, on that day, we will book that infrastructure and start depreciating it. Mm-hmm. I have obtained everything that I have required. The utility infrastructure, we have reviewed that. We got the AutoCAD files. They've met their punch list items. The only piece that they don't have yet is the one-year warranty bond. And I was told that they can't get that warranty bond until the actual transfer happens. Right now, the county has a bond on everything, and Andrew, you were mentioning that that's really not the best thing long moving forward, that the district should actually be named in the bond. So that's the next step that apparently needs to happen once the Infrastructure Act transfers through the district. At that time, they can, once they close their bond out, then we can get the warranty bond.
So
that date should start.
Yeah,
because I thought you weren't going to be here, right?
So a couple of questions. Is that, well, actually, I'll open it up to board. Any questions on what Michael has presented? Martin?
No, I have no questions.
Director Booth?
I have none, thank you.
Director Butler?
No.
So is the timing of this bond standard in the industry? This is not unusual that they would not provide the loan before?
This is kind of the first I've heard.
It's a little unusual.
What's that?
I'm not a bond expert, so I...
It's a little unusual. I'd be a little bit more concerned if it was a developer who was done with the district and gone. But there's additional phases.
They've got phase two, which is actually a much larger phase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so my thought is we see how it shakes out, and if we don't like the way it happened, it never happens that way again.
So to answer your question, I'm not terribly concerned about the way, but it is a little unusual.
Just
a little frame of reference. The material bond and the performance bond that go to the county, once the projects accepted, will be reduced down to about 50% of what the original face of the bond was for the one-year warranty. But since you got all this other stuff, 140 less, 30, so you still got about 100 lots or so over there, those bonds will still be there, and you're only reducing it down to
50%
on the lots you're accepting. So you'll be fine.
Thank you.
And we're requesting it. Our policy is 10% of the value, which they have provided to us. They provide the value to us.
Got it. So my question, and maybe Director Janko asked it, that the timing would be such, would be an automatic rollover from the county to us, but that doesn't appear to be the case.
No, I think they actually go and get a separate maintenance bond, because right now there's no warranty bond on that.
Right, because they haven't done anything, right? So that would make sense if they have to go start something new.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Not seeing any, I make a motion to adopt Resolution R-2023-06, accepting review infrastructure. Could I have a roll call vote, please?
I'll second the motion.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Jeez.
President Beebe?
Aye.
Director Polk?
Aye.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 18. I'm sorry. Jeez. 17. You can see where I'm at. I'll start with Director Polk.
I have nothing to add.
No,
Director Booth?
No, I have nothing to add. Thank you.
Director Butler?
Nope.
Director Janko?
I have got nothing.
Thank you. I make a motion to adjourn. Can I have a second?
16. I'll second.
If I could have a roll call vote.
Give me 1 second.
Oh, no worries. We just want to go home. You know, we're on restriction.
No, I just want to stay here forever.
Do we need them?
No, she doesn't.
No, I don't. President Beebe?
Aye.
Director Polk?
Aye.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Aye.
Director Booth?
Aye.
Time to go home. Andrew, did we say
thank you, staff. Thank you, everyone.